Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for listening in today on Wellness Works with Centria S. Dorsey of Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center located in Baltimore, Maryland. I want to remind everyone that the location is at Sargent Street, and then the salon location is at 6401 Hawford Road. You do have a choice. For those of you who need a lunchtime break, you can see me at 7000 Security Boulevard during the course of the week. Be sure to inbox me or give me a call to set up your appointment. And today we have with us Ms. Lauren Jones of Lauren Jones Yoga. Lauren, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hi. So, can you give us information about what you do before we get into the topic today so that anyone that's interested in yoga and any other offerings that you have will be able to, one, know exactly what you offer, and then, two, how to contact you at a later time?
Sure. Well, first off, I wanted to say hi, and thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Awesome. I just wanted to make sure. So I am a Christian yoga teacher. I offer yoga classes online and offline through, I do an online service through Zoom, which is like a video conference. And then I have on actual classes in churches that I teach throughout Hartford and Baltimore County. And it's just a space where women can just come and just be with God, kind of turn off the outside noise. I read scripture, Jesus calling, and it's just a really safe space to just be and really just move through some yoga poses. And I do like a restorative class where we mainly do things like on the floor, such as like forward folds and legs up a wall, which is really relaxing. And then I'll do like a power kind of workout class where we do downward facing dogs, warrior one and warrior two. But ultimately, it's just a space to just turn off and be present with God.
Okay. And where can they contact you if they have any, like, questions? Would you like to leave, like, a phone number or an email address that they can reach you at?
Sure. My phone number is 443-904-3055. And then my email is laurjones@gmail.com.
Okay. And so, Lauren, is there anything aside from you just gave us the brief description of what you offer in your classes and how they're structured? Is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners specifically about your business before we get into the discussion?
I've been teaching yoga for about a year now, and I just recently started offering one-on-one, like, life coaching for women. Okay. Like, I can have men come into some of my classes. There's a few classes where it's just women only. But with my life coaching, it's with just women where we just talk about trying to get through the barriers and the patterns, like the kind of being stuck in a way of being in life. Not maybe it's suffering through some sort of addiction or trying to get through some sort of barrier, and just letting God kind of guide them through that. And I just kind of hold space weekly one-on-one coaching sessions that I do that I just started doing like a few months ago, and it's been really amazing for me, and God has really showed up big time for me in that space. So it's been really exciting.
Okay. And then I just have one last question in reference to your business. And I know that you say you're of faith-based and the faith is Christianity. Are you able to have people of other faiths come in and partake of your classes without or have you had any other people of other faiths come in and participate in your class and enjoy it fully, and, you know, you have referrals outside of just people who are specifically Christian?
I mean, all is welcome to my classes. I try to just mm-hmm. be very open-minded. I had a girl that mm-hmm. wouldn't identify herself as a Christian. It's just truly just mm-hmm. a safe space. My yoga practice started mm-hmm. all because I needed peace in my life. My life was just very chaotic. I was in very toxic relationships. I drank a lot in my day. And I just really, mm-hmm. my life just was kind of coming to an end at that point of just my mental state and just where I was. I was very distant from God. And I started yoga just to find mm-hmm. peace. So really for mm-hmm. everyone, just to be. I added the Christian yoga, the Christian aspect, because God brought me here. The reason why I do what I do is because mm-hmm. of Him, and all the glory goes to Him, honestly. So
right.
it's what. You know, I started doing yoga without the Jesus aspect of it. And, you know, I'm totally open mm-hmm. with leading classes that isn't Christ-centered. Like, I'm very open-minded in that space, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I would never tell you to not, because not do that, ever. Because at the end of the day, like,
oh, no.
God brought you to where you are.
Yeah.
So even if
yeah.
it's not a specifically Christian-based class, God is always at the center. So
sure.
God is never not a part of that, because even though it's something you're doing for the body, like you said, you did it initially for the mind, because it is a practice. And in some aspects, it is a meditative sort of practice, because you do have to get in touch and in some way speak to your body so you can get it to do
yeah.
What you need it to do, what it hasn't done before. So,
Yeah.
So with that in mind, so that's really cool. I love that you aren't afraid to share your faith and to embrace what has got you to the point of your health and healing and wholeness. And to me, that's the biggest thing. I love, even if people aren't the same faith as I am, I love when they're able to share their faith, because then that tells me that they're serious about what they believe. And
yeah.
We can actually then have, like, real conversations, you know?
For sure. So, yeah, for sure.
And
I love all different types of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a God of their understanding. So they're putting faith in okay. something that... Because I have all different types of friends. Like, some of my best friends aren't Christians, and I right. love getting to know people and getting to know that. And, you know, the idea of mixing yoga and Jesus scares some people, because it's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, what's going to happen in this space? But I just realized, you know, mm-hmm. learning more about other religions and other cultures and places and things, I learned more about myself and more about my God of my understanding and who
right.
He's called me to be.
Right. So, and then, you know, people are just looking for a space that is friendly nowadays. So to have the open arms, which even through just speaking with you now, like, you have an open arms greeting. So I just know that. So to for someone to come to your class, then they know that they are welcome. And so that the biggest thing that you need. You know, most people are just looking for a space that they can just be. And,
yeah.
you know, with nothing. Because when you go to a yoga or you go to an exercise or you go to something after work, you want to just be able to just be, like, whatever that mm-hmm. is in that moment, so that you can start to unwind, so you can start to get the releases that you need, so you can start to get free from whatever the issues of the day happen to be, or whatever you have
lingering
that you need to address. So I think this is actually a good segue into our topic, and our topic is edification. And we have this down as edification part two, because we spoke with your mom for the first part. And everyone remembers, if you didn't get to catch that was with Miss Lisa Jones. And So now we're with Mr. Lauren Jones, and she's going to fill us in on what edification is to her, and what does that look like? Like, you know, just in general, we can even stem from what we were just talking about as far as using examples. But when you hear the word edify or edification, what is that to you? What does that mean? What does that look like?
For some reason, can you define that for me, actually?
Okay.
Like, how would you define edification?
It's to lift up, to instruct. So anything that has to do with building up, to establish, those are a few other definitions for it. So anything that has to do with constructing, reconstructing something so that it's able to fulfill its purpose would be a form of edification.
Okay.
Or edify.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, what edification really means to me is, and it just go, like, this is what's coming up for me, is just truly like holding space for someone, because we can't really do it for them. And I feel like I look at my relationship with Jesus and God, like, He just holds space for us. So it's whether we choose to lean in and do it, because we can't. Because we can lift people up with words. I love, like, I'm a words of affirmation kind of girl. I love words. I love, like, hearing things from people. But at the end of the day, it's really our choice and whether we choose to change our lives and to do the thing. So I think it's really how I really build people up, especially with my coaching, is I just simply show up. And I think just being with that person, and that's where yoga really helped me to be present, to make eye contact, to be here with that person. Because I think ultimately, like, even with the coaching that I'm doing, like, these, my clients are doing it themselves. All I'm doing is showing up, and they're letting, they're choosing to show up as well. So I think it's really just holding space. And, you know, as a yoga teacher too, I just kind of come in there and teach the flow and read scripture and provide the space, and I show up. And it's really allowing God to, like, work through us. And I think that that really builds that firm foundation of just being with somebody and learning to just kind of show up, just like a parent. Like, all a kid really wants is, I'm not a mom. I don't know what that all entails. But all the kid really wants is you to just show up and be there for him or for her. So I think that's really how you build someone up, is just keep showing up.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You're saying you don't know because you're not a parent, but it's not true. You're given the example from the viewpoint of a child. So, and you are somebody's child. So you can speak to it. What you needed, and that is true. Most children just need you to be there. They want direction, and they want instruction, and they want to know what the boundaries are. And so all of that actually goes into, like, some of the other definitions of edification, edifying, that we gave at the beginning, which is to establish. So what are you establishing?
Mm-hmm.
You're giving them the baseline. Okay, these are the things that are acceptable in this place, and these are the things that are not. To build up, okay, so now that you know what's acceptable and what's not, now I need to give you the tools. So with the tools, now you're able to start to construct whatever your house is going to be. So, and as you were speaking about what you do in the classes, you say you show up and then you provide scripture. Okay, so for someone, that baseline is someone actually there and present for me? So you showed up. So that's their foundation, that's their baseline, that's their boundary. And then you said you provide scripture or coaching for those who need coaching. So then now you're giving them the tools. So, and then from that, like you say, they do the work themselves, and that's true, but they needed the boundary first. We needed to know what the guidelines were first, and then they needed tools. And so as you're giving them the class, you're providing them with the tools. And then they do the work.
Yeah.
And then you go and you evaluate for them what and allow them to see what their new baseline is. Okay, where are we going from here? Now we can build up because we've established something. So every time they see you, now they're building up. They're building their strength. They're building their stamina. They're building their mental fortitude. They're building their spiritual fortitude. They're building up. So
yes,
that
it's
is
beautiful.
Awesome. So what else do you have to add to that?
I think that was really it. That was beautifully said. I like that. That was really nice. And I think it's just that daily practice, like they call yoga practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
mm-hmm.
that day in and day out of really committing, committing to something, like committing to your health,
mm-hmm.
committing to your yoga practice, committing to your faith, committing to your partner, whoever you're doing life with. Like it's that daily
mm-hmm.
activity of using those tools and going back to those tools. Like I have clients that just kind of have anxiety and have these moments of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die in the moment. But it's really going back to those tools. Okay, find your breath,
mm-hmm.
read your Bible, find some presence,
mm-hmm.
take a deep inhale. And it's like the whole time through the class, it's like, take a deep breath. It's like it's like the constant guide. Because once we tune into our breath, that allows us to stay present. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
those are all tools that I had to learn. Because I mean, I still have anxiety, but learning to manage that and being like, okay, this is happening. I'm going to breathe. And just seeing my students use those and be like, oh, I've learned this. And now I take it. It's really taking that time on your mat, on your yoga mat, and really transforming it into your life. And that's what really
mm-hmm.
changes you, is because you're learning those, you're building that firm foundation and then going out and sharing that with the world.
Right. So you mentioned a few strategies. Well, one in particular is the breathing that you use when you have times of anxiousness. What are some of the other strategies that you employ or you assist others with putting into place to help them to develop in their mental aspect? Because that's really what that is, so that they can overcome, so that they can do the work.
Yeah, I think a meditation practice is really, really important, just to be still. Like, we can
mm-hmm.
tell what we're anxious because of our bodies if we're constantly moving, or, like, we can't seem to stay, like, sit still. And that's why it's really important to obviously, like, instill that in kids, because a lot of kids are just, like, so active and all over the place sometimes, and they just need like stillness and to just be. So
mm-hmm.
The breath, finding the breath is really important, because you're just like in the moment, and our minds are always going to wander. Like when we're thinking about the future, we're living in the future and we have anxiety. If we're living in the past, then we're suffering with guilt and shame. So it's really like thinking about right now. So finding stillness
mm-hmm.
and meditation is just really important, because it allows you to tune into your breath and then to be still, to really calm down the mind and the body. And sometimes it takes a moment. Like if you're laying there or sitting there, you're kind of like getting all the twitches out. But then when you find stillness, I like to call them like glimpses of heaven, because once you're still and calm in those moments, it's like God just comes down and he's just like, hey, I'm here. It's okay. And I think once we can train ourselves, like train our nerd, like kind of think differently. So when a freak out moment happens, instead of turning into like doing other things or distracting ourselves or running away from it, we really tune into our breath and find stillness
mm-hmm.
and know that, you know, everything's going to be okay. God will never leave us or forsake us. Like we're going to be provided for and everything's all right. Because especially
right.
with someone with anxiety, like has those moments of like, oh my gosh. And you know, that stems back from when I was a little girl. I used to have these moments of like freak outs, like temper tantrums, and I thought like the world was ending sometimes. So, you know, as adult, we don't really know how to change that unless we have the right tools to kind of calm
mm-hmm.
us down and bring us back to the present moment, knowing that everything's going to be okay. And that's
yeah.
where yoga's really helped me. because it helped me to be present. And then matching my body and my mind with all of that and just being, cause like kind of getting our bodies more open, our minds more open.
Okay. And you mentioned specifically the word meditation several times. Define what meditation is for someone who may be wondering, like, well, what exactly is that?
I think meditation to me, what was that?
Yeah. What is it? What does it look like? Like, how would you define it to someone if they actually, what is meditation? Or what is it to meditate?
I think people really think like meditating might be like thinking of nothing, but because it's a practice, just like yoga and just like anything else. But I really think it's really becoming the observer. So it's kind of sitting on top of a hill and just kind of seeing cars go by, and just kind of like observing, oh, there's a thought. Okay, that feels a certain way. All right, thought. And then it just kind of like drifts away. So you're just observing. And then when you kind of just let those like thoughts kind of like flow freely, you just kind of almost like you're floating. I don't know. I always, when I enter in that space of just being, it's truly just, I like to call it like those glimpses of heaven where you're just really present and you're in the moment and everything in the world just seems like it is okay for just that instant. Like everything is just like perfect. And I don't like the word perfect, but that's how it feels when you're just so calm and so still. And I feel like that's what meditation is to me. So I try every time to reach that place of stillness and peace, because in that place, like, it's like heaven. It's like, it's magical, but it ends, you know, because the microwave goes off or the kid screams or something spills or, you know, life happens, you know, we get back to reality. But I feel like when you start practicing that space to meditate, it's like really just purely being. I've tried to write about it a few times and it's really hard for me to describe the words. But it's just that pure practice. And in the beginning, it's like, oh my gosh, when is this going to be over? Like my boyfriend doesn't really like to meditate. And I meditated with like on his bed the other day for 5 minutes. And he was like, that felt like a half an hour. And I'm like, that was not a half an hour. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people just don't really like to just sit there, but it's really like observing your thoughts and being like, okay, I'm just going to breathe through this space, be here and just see what comes up. And then try again for 5 minutes tomorrow. And once you kind of practice breathing, like I say in my classes, like breathe through the tension, let all of that go. And when you're able to breathe through the tension in your yoga mat and your meditation practice by yourself, then you're able to take that into your life. So when you have that tough conversation at work or when you're talking to your spouse and he's like driving you nuts, you're just breathing through that space. And being like, okay, God, give me the words to say. Like, everything's going to be okay. Like, when you're sitting in traffic, that's where I really learned to use my breath, is when I'm sitting in traffic and I have somewhere to be. I'm like, okay, I'm here for a reason. It's going to be okay. Take a deep breath. And I'm usually fine. Whereas in the past, I would have gotten myself all anxious and frustrated. And then I'm going to be so late. My whole day is going to be ruined. And, you know, it's okay. I didn't die, you know.
Right. And I think maybe for some people, like you say, for him, he's just like, okay, like, no. So maybe for him, maybe he needs something to focus on initially. So, you know, the word tells us to think on these things. You know, so to me, that's like a call to meditate, but it gives you direction on what to put your thoughts on. So, you know, things that are, you know, good, things are good report, you know, anything that is basically loving, kind, peaceful, like put those thoughts in your mind and think on them. Like, what is it? What does it look like? Why does it look that way? You know, and not get too much into the questions of it, as you said, just let it be. But maybe to just start with, okay, what is this? And then let your mind and your spirit tell you what that is. And then maybe that'll give him, you know, make it easier for him to just be at peace, just find a time
yes.
to just rest. It just rest. Like you say, even if it's just 5 minutes, like you should maybe rest
yeah.
about it. So,
and I was reading,
and,
and everyone, yeah, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You were
reading.
Oh,
I was just going to say that I was just reading this book called Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Haley Barton. It's literally been one of those books where definitely my top five. And she just said that, you know, everyone has different spiritual practices. So it might not be meditation, or that might be harder for some people and easier for others. Or it might be yoga. Mm-hmm. It could be running. It could be walking. It could be sewing. It's mm-hmm. kind of finding that thing that works. And, you know, that's what I've kind of realized that, you know, because I've always been like, oh my gosh, I had this revelation in meditation, and not everyone really, that's not their thing. So like, mm-hmm. I just try to hold space for him, because he's, you know, and try to teach him too, and know that everyone mm-hmm. kind of has their own thing.
And then, like you just said, for some people, it's walking or running, whatever. So maybe he does need to be in motion to meditate, because it's still about your thoughts.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting that control over your thoughts and bringing your thoughts under subjection, and knowing where your mind is, knowing where your spirit is, knowing where you are, like you said, in that moment. So it took me a long time to be able to just do nothing. Like, okay, you don't have to do anything at this time. And I got to a point where I was like, okay. So for me, it was, okay, I'm not physically doing anything, but my mind would be going mm-hmm. 20,000 miles, you know, so
yeah.
I'm still doing it because I'm,
uh-huh.
I'm still trying to accomplish something while I'm physically doing nothing. And so what I had to do was realize that, no, that's still not resting. You have to get your mind to stop along with your body. And so
mm-hmm.
to initially do that, I had to do something. And then the back end of that would be the body settles. And then I stop. Everything stops.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to do first. Like, I had to find anything to do to initiate it. So I'm kind of thinking maybe
yeah.
that's what it is. He can't just sit down and be like, okay, I'm in this space. Like, no. Like,
yeah. It's definitely
so
a practice.
I get that. Mm-hmm. And you do have to learn, but at the end of the day, yeah, it's, and like you say, and I have heard exactly what you said at the beginning, where people say, oh, you're just thinking about nothing. Well, that's not true. You never not think about
yeah.
something.
Yes.
So you have to direct your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like just getting back into alignment. Like, it's kind of like,
yeah.
I call it, it's like squirrel, you know, and it's like, okay, back to your breath, and then squirrel, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then back to your breath again. It's just that constant.
Yeah.
And then once you just kind of surrender and fully let go, like, you're
right.
just being. And then before you know it, it's like a half an hour has gone by,
right.
and you're just thinking, what just happened? How did I just sit
yeah.
here for 30 minutes? You yeah. know,
but,
and that's a practice.
Like,
so that just takes,
yeah.
yeah.
Mhm. And it's the key word you said is surrender. It's surrendering.
Yes.
Surrendering to what's going on, and because we all feel like we have to be on guard all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you are taking yourself into a space where you're going to be completely unaware of what's going on around you and create an unsafe environment, but you're not so focused on your environment. And first and foremost, you should be in a space that you're okay with in the first
mm-hmm.
place. But even if that is walking, for me, overseas, that was what I did to keep myself in a good headspace and to really sort through things. I just walked.
Oh, I love that.
Constantly walked. But that was my peace. And that allowed me to get my thoughts under control, get my emotions under control, you know, have that communion between me and the Holy Spirit, you know, and whenever the Lord would drop something in my spirit, then I could hear it.
And
I try to buck it, just actually listen and say, okay, well, where does that, you know, why? You know, so for me, it was that movement. But like I said, once I got done, because I had to get away from people.
Yeah.
And so once I did that, I was in a different headspace. I was in a better headspace. Then I could go into my room and be by myself and just be and just bask in that peace that I now had, you know, and fully enjoy it. You know, I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful to know, like, to clear out the static, I say, like finding, like, walking or meditation or whatever spiritual practice, to just clear out that static so you can, like, hear what God is, how God is speaking to us and how we're supposed to do what we're called to do. Because it's like so many people are confused and not, you know, I talked to my client last week and she was just like, I feel really disconnected from God. And it was because she wasn't using those tools. She wasn't doing her yoga. Right. She wasn't reading her Jesus calling. She wasn't reading her Bible. She wasn't spending time for her. And I tend to resist those things too. I'm like, oh, I should really go do yoga. I should really spend some time with God. And it's kind of like, oh, I know I need to do this, but I really want to spend time with so-and-so or distract myself. But it's learning like, no, this is a practice. I'm going to go for my walk. And I know that that's going to make me better. That's what serves me and right now. And I need to listen to that. So I'm so proud of you for being able to find that space, because so many people are just so confused on where they should go and what they're doing and fall back into their old patterns. And it's so easy to do that when they don't have a strong, they don't have those, that edification, that strong, firm foundation of what they should be doing.
Right. And that's exactly, and when I feel like I'm getting cluttered, like now I can more easily just shut myself down. Because like you said, once you practice it enough, you know what your triggers are. You know when you're getting off track. And you, and it's like, okay, I need to reset. Like, how can I best reset in this situation? You know, because sometimes you can't go for that walk, but you can sit down. You know, and it's like you said, okay, I can't go for a walk, but what do I need to do? Okay, let me breathe. And in the breathing, I'll clear my mind and I'll clear my head and I'll be able to refocus, and take these tools that I have, put them into practice, and build myself back up so I can do what needs to be done to get through this day or on to the next thing or whatever the case may be. And it's just so illuminating when you sit back and you see, like, my mom just moved down south. And I have, you know, several different things on my plate. So there is something I was supposed to be doing for her. So, and I found that I could not recall where I placed the items. And I'm like, I know I didn't move them. I know I didn't move them. And the truth was, I hadn't moved them, but I couldn't see them.
Yeah.
I literally could not see them. Looking in the proper space, and I could not see them. And I just was not rested. And so that just reminded me, you know, how important it is to get enough rest. But getting quiet allowed me to get my mind to stop with the anxiety, to stop with all of that other stuff, about to be ripping and running across, back and forth across town for nothing. And all I needed to do was to get quiet and sit down. And once I got quiet and sat down and I looked right back in the same space again, there everything was.
They always it's been so there. Crazy. It's just changing that mindset. I literally, at the same, well, a similar thing happened to me yesterday. I forgot to do something, and then I was in this space in a room, in the house, and I was just laying there by myself. And then I remembered. So unfortunately, I got up and went and did the thing, so I didn't forget again. But that would happen. Like, mm-hmm. I remember one time mm-hmm. I forgot something. I misplaced something. And then once I was just still in being, I'm like, I know exactly where it is. Like, we just have to clear our mm-hmm. head, because our minds are mm-hmm. constantly making up stuff, and there's just voices all over the place. And, you know, I had to move to Charlotte, North Carolina for a year to really get away from that space. Like, I was in a toxic place in my life, and I had to, like, clear all of that out. And I was able to think more clearly and hear more clearly and really figure out what I was meant to do in my life when I moved 450 miles away from home. And not everyone mm-hmm. has that option, but even if they found a park or a room to just be. And I taught a class mm-hmm. last night, and my student was like, I was in another place at the end of class there. And I was like, where'd you go? She's like, I don't know, but it was the most magical place I've been to in a long time. You know, it's just like just finding that space to just fully let go and be. And that's ultimately what mm-hmm. God has called me to do, is just create a safe space for women, more so women. I mean, men are invited, but just to be, because I know what it's like to not, to just be like mm-hmm. on edge and anxiety and all kinds of thoughts, where it's like you just kind of turn it off for just a few moments. And the more you practice that, the more you'll find those little glimpses of heaven. And it's just like, oh my goodness, this is just magical.
Right. There's nothing more freeing than having a clear direction. Mm-hmm. And that is what, and I think that's why I just keep coming back to the meditation, because at the end of the day, it allows you to get that clarity, and so you can know what direction you need to be going forward or towards. And like I said, and even though, and some people might be thinking, well, you guys aren't talking about edification anymore. What? But yes, we are. We still are.
Yeah.
Because with that clarity, again, comes, you are building up yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. So someone or something is still being developed at the end of the day. And that is what one of the things that edification and to be edified or to edify is about. It's just, mm-hmm. like you said, changing the landscape so that something can grow, something can develop,
yeah.
something can become better than what it was. So going forward, where do you see, and now that we've had this conversation, I'm going to put it this way.
Uh-huh.
Now that we've had this conversation and you are no longer unaware of edification, what it is and its role and what you do, how aware do you see that you will purposefully employ it, or maybe employ it in a different way, because you've been doing it, you just maybe didn't realize to what extent. So now that you are aware, because you know, in our circle they say once you become aware you can never be unaware, so
yeah,
how do you perceive that this conversation will affect your classes or even your interactions with the people that you're coaching going forward?
I think it's just truly being mindful and definitely like having more solid tools. Like, I'm working on for my business mm-hmm. just getting more clarity. And I think that this conversation kind of allows me to remember like how many people need what I have to offer, and just mm-hmm. providing those tools and being very clear about like, this is what I offer. This is what is happening here, you know, and really being more clear, I think, is what has helped me in providing more of that. Like, I want, like, my mantra, I would say, or my saying every day is, not my will, but yours, God. So wherever God leads me, whatever he's called me to do, like, that's what I'm going to do. And I know it's really, like, with my business, it's just shown up every day, day in and day out, of just creating the safe space and just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And just being for for women and providing them those tools because they don't know. And, you know, just mm-hmm. like you said, if you're aware now, I can't remember what scripture it is, but if you know, like it's like a sin if you don't know, if you know and you don't say anything. Like I feel like I know now. I mean, I don't know everything by any means. I don't know that much, but it's just mm-hmm. really being aware and helping other people kind of get in that same, like we're walking this path and kind of bringing people along the path to alignment, mm-hmm. to bring them closer to God and closer to who He's called them to be.
Right. At the end of the day, that is everyone's mission. The thing is, how does your mission play out? You know, what are the fine points? How are you going to execute your mission? Because, like you said, at the end of the day, especially as Christians, that is our ultimate goal, is to bring everyone back to the relationship with God. And it's, how are we doing that? Well, you're doing it with the gifts that God has given you, and you just share those gifts with those that have been placed in your environment, in your atmosphere, mm-hmm. in the circle. So I think that if we just keep that in mind, and I believe too, because I was, you know, going back, my mind is going back to the top of the hour when you were talking about your struggles prior to finding out how you are going to live out your life's purpose. Mm-hmm. So even digging down and digging into what it was so that you had that direction, because at the end of the day, everybody needs to know that they have a purpose. Everybody needs to find their passion so that we aren't wandering aimlessly or trying to fill mm-hmm. voids. Because at mm-hmm. the end of the day, that's all that was. You were trying to find a way to fill a void because you knew there was something else. You knew there was something more. Mm-hmm. You knew something was lacking. And so I think it's a beautiful thing when God allows you to be that person that someone can come into your presence and begin to feel the void. And
yeah,
because of the environment that you provide, that's immediately what begins to happen. A person comes into an environment and the void begins to be filled. So, but what we have to be careful also is that, like you said, our focus stays on, okay, God is doing this work. And not allow the person to use us as the source when we are simply
yeah.
a resource, and mm-hmm. draw on you, and in drawing on you, actually pull you out of the way you're supposed to be doing things, because now mm-hmm. you're fixating on assisting that person over assisting the masses that you're supposed to be helping out with. So I would say just be careful about that, because there are those who will come to pull on you, to pull at you. And you'll still be doing the work that you're supposed to do, but it will be too narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's something that you want to keep your eyes open for. And I'm being obedient, I guess, right now, because I'm like, okay, that was a little very specific. So,
oh, no, I love specifics. And I think it's really, like, I've had that happen just, like, with a recent client. I think it's just really knowing, and I have to remind people and remind myself that we aren't, like, we're just mm-hmm. used as a vessel. So don't look
right.
to me. Like, people even say, oh, Lauren, your classes are so amazing. You're so magical. You're so great. And I'm like, it's not me. Like, that's what. And I make that very, very clear, you know, and I think it's setting very mm-hmm. solid boundaries. And that's why, like, with my mm-hmm. coaching, I offer an hour a week. I'm not, like, a 911 call. Like, I have other responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I have other duties in my life. So it's, like, it's setting very solid boundaries and being, like, I can give you an hour, and that's what I have. So I think that's something where I've learned, you know, we can't help and save everyone, but it's helping them by setting those boundaries and creating that foundation of, hey, this is what is going to happen. This is what I have to offer, and things like that. But in regards to what you were saying before, I just wanted to say that I really believe that, and I heard it somewhere, like turning your burdens into blessings. I believe that we suffer for a bit. Mm-hmm. I love 1 Peter 5:10. We suffer for a little bit, and then God will restore us and put us on a firm foundation. I believe that with whatever we suffered with, so whatever anyone is suffering with right now, knowing that God can use that. So it was because of my suffering that I am where I am today. It's because of my suffering that I can reach the women that I can with my coaching, and I can reach the women that I can in my yoga classes, because I know what that feels like and I can speak to that. So I wouldn't go through that time again. I don't wish that on anyone. No. However, it's made me who I am today. So knowing that even though life is like, why is this happening to me? How do I handle this? I am just like, I don't even know what to do. I've given up. Knowing that God can use those moments to really make, like, that's what's really fueled my business, is because I'm out there thinking of those old Laurens that were suffering, you know, 4 years ago. I was just in a really bad mental state. And now I wake up every morning and I literally cannot believe how much God has blessed me. I can't even really put it into words. I'm just so incredibly grateful. And it's like, you know, and I'm only 30 years old. Like, I don't know how this happened some days. I'm like, what happened? But it's just me, like you were saying, just being obedient and listening and creating that walk time and that meditation time and that prayer time to be like, okay, God, you got this. You got this. You got this. And it's like in my coaching program that I'm currently in, we just kind of talk about like how we're walking and crying. We're still walking, but we're crying. And we're just like, this feels uncomfortable, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway. So it's learning to manage those emotions. And finding a really great community, which I love that you have this space where you're just talking out loud about it. I support that 110%, because it's like being in community is what's really, I mean, God has saved me and God is the center of it all. But at the same time, it's like he's really provided really safe people. I have a really strong community of people that, you know, uplift me and support me and cheer me on. And I can't do it alone. So that's another thing, is just finding that safe space to just be with other like-minded people too.
Right. And sometimes I'm talking about being, you know, with like-minded people and keeping things in perspective. I recently saw or read or heard where someone said, well, you know what, I figured out I can do most of this stuff by myself. You know, or, you know, a lot of times when we're at work and stuff, I'm like, oh, this isn't so hard. I can do all of this by myself. Well, no, you can't.
Yeah.
You can do what you're able to do now because someone took the time to give you instruction on that thing. And while you have reached a certain level, you still won't be able to get past that without additional instruction and assistance from someone else. Now, the work you may do on your own, but the getting to the space that you are supposed to be getting to will never be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and to me, once a person takes on that attitude, then they stop being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, the role and the contributions of others in their life. And that's really a bad place to be in, because you start to block the flow of, you know, assistance to you at that point, because you've made everything, oh, I got this. I can do this. So you basically like take God out of the equation, and then as soon as you stumble up, now you're looking.
Yeah.
And then that's an easy time for anyone that's been in your space to be like, well, you know, you said, or you know, I told you so. But you know, grace doesn't do that, and compassion doesn't do that. So love says, okay, you learned your lesson. Okay, let's dust it off. Let's start over again, you know, and keep it moving. But I kind of cringe now when I hear or I read or I see people making those types of statements with a certain tone. Like, I understand some things we can't, you know, that is the statement for it, but the tone isn't one of absoluteness. But when there's a tone of an absoluteness, like, you know, I'm going to disregard anything and everybody else, and I'm just going to go do this, that's where you're about to run into some trouble.
Yeah.
And so, do you have clients that you've run across like that? And when you do, what strategies or tools do you use to kind of get them to start to shift their thought process back so that they don't fall into that ditch that they don't even know is waiting ahead for them?
I think it's really like making, I share obviously about myself because I, you know, I have mm-hmm. suffered and still do, obviously. It's still an ongoing thing with like a level of pride being like, I can do this on my own. Just like you were saying, like, I don't need help. And I think that, you know, I just remind myself, like, make it less about me and more about you, God. So that's what I really instill in my clients. Like, a lot of my clients struggle with the fear of rejection or the fear of taking things way too personally. But ideally, they're making that all about them. And I really enforce them, and I try to be as, like, blunt as possible, but also super compassionate, is that it's not about them. It's not about, like, when people don't show up to my classes, when people cancel, when I feel rejected, because I take things personally as well, and I'm realizing that I'm just making that about me. And it's not, like, the less we can make it about ourselves and more about other people, but also by taking care of ourselves. So we find that time for meditation. We find that time to eat healthy, to take our walks, to exercise, take care of our mind, body, and soul. Then we're filled up, and then we can go serve the world. But when someone says something that sets us off or we get offended by or take it personally or make it about us, we then can look at that and be like, wow, I'm taking that personally. And that's really, it's really not about me, because, and I'm still working on that myself. You know, in the past, I just made everything about me, where people would be like, Lauren, we're not even talking about you. Like, you know, and it's so easy to do that when you have that mindset of like me, 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 me. So I think it's just kind of changing that mindset and making it more about like, what does this other person need? And really setting solid boundaries too, and getting out like what you need and being like, this is the boundary. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes
just making sure.
Sense to me.
Sometimes when I talk, I don't know if I just kind of ramble and I'm like, I don't know if that made sense.
No, you weren't rambling. But yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, you are just, you're trying to get the person to understand that they need that time, they need that space, they need to be sure that they're taking the time to take care of themselves for real. And that's really what you were just saying, like, if you don't take the time to really take care of yourself for real, then, you know, you're not going to be able to focus on the things that you need to focus on. You're not going to be able to get to the next place. You're not going to be able to push through whatever the obstacle is that you keep coming to me, telling me about, and not having any success. And it may be simply that you've overlooked something where there's something that you don't want to let go of, that you really need to let go of. That's keeping you from making that progress that you need to make. And so that's why I think it's really great that you do the coaching, because that's what's going to really help people to you know, get where they need to get. That one-on-one is really important now, done mm-hmm. correctly. So
absolutely.
I think that's awesome that you do offer that.
Thank you. I think it's great what you're offering.
So, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
So we are coming to the end, obviously, because like we're naturally done. So I kind of like that, that happens naturally. Is there anything you'd like to add at this point?
Just thank you for having me, and thank you for holding mm-hmm. space and listening and doing what you do. You know, it's just very important to have conversations just out loud, because I think a lot of people are maybe having a lot of conversations not out loud and thinking that they're alone in what they think, or they don't really want to talk out loud about things. But I think the more things are talked about out loud and brought to the surface, the more that we can really, as cliche as it sounds, but really make the world a better place and change it together, which mm-hmm. is really great.
Okay. And I would say give everyone your contact information again so that they can get a hold of you if they
yes.
missed it at the time. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So my phone number, my direct phone number is 443-904-3055. And you can email me anytime at laur, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, yoga, at gmail.com.
Okay.
And then I'm also on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, she is. Yes, she's on Facebook and Instagram as Laura Jones Yoga, okay? So when you look for her,
yeah.
don't just look for Laura Jones, look for Laura Jones Yoga, and then you will find the correct person.
Yes.
So yeah, thank you so much for being on, and I just want to remind everyone that you can inbox me on Facebook at Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center, Centria Associate LMT, and on Instagram at Centria S, that's CENTRIAS. And also be sure to pick up a copy of my very first book ever. It's called Purge. And when you look for it on Amazon, it will be under Centria Dorsey Worthy. And I'll be looking forward to your comments and critiques of that work. Until next time, have a blessed and prosperous day.